And the Emmy goes to
Breaking Bad.
Modern Family. Veep.
Homeland.
Schitt's Creek.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Next Best Series podcast, episode 19. We took a hiatus there for a couple of weeks, but we are back now, and what a time. What a time to be talking about television. This is the prime time. This is Emmy time. Right now, we have some of the best television programming coming out that we will probably see all year airing live, and here today to talk with me about it all, including a major announcement about the Golden Globes, I have Michael Schwartz.
Hello, everyone.
And Amanda Spears.
Hello.
All right. So as I mentioned before, a lot has happened since the last time we were here. We have all of these new shows. It seems like now that the Oscars are over, everyone has turned their attention towards either going back to movie theaters or watching the latest hit show on television. And there's obviously many to get to here. So I'm more than happy to ask you guys what else you have been watching, but I figured maybe the best thing to start off with first would be the announcement of the Golden Globes cancellation for 2022, because as we all know, they celebrate television shows in both the drama and comedy musical categories every single year. So in terms of award season and where they factor in along with SAG and a few of the other shows in the lead up to the Emmys, what do we think that the cancellation of the Golden Globes is going to mean this year? Amanda, we'll start with you.
The difference between the Golden Globe celebrating film and the Golden Globe celebrating television is that the films have already aired. The films are already out. They're not going to have too much of an impact on the box office. They might have some, but they're really not going to move the needle. But what the Golden Globes can do for a television show, it's kind of sad from the TV perspective, because when you look at it from like Rachel Bloom with My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, that kind of put her on the map. It put the show on the map. One of they're famous for, like, you know, when Ally McBeal and Calista Flockhart won, or The Office, the UK version, and Ricky Gervais won. So they've done a lot of good as far as like giving, especially new shows, the attention and recognition they deserve. Now, they still do have their problems, and they're easy to exploit, but they have done a lot of good for television shows. You know, they awarded Atlanta, they awarded Transparent. They've really given a lot of television shows their breakthrough moments. So it is sad for those shows. Now, on the good side, is nobody next year is going to be subject to the Golden Globe plus SAG does not typically equal Emmy curse.
Which will make things a little bit more interesting, right? Because, you know, it'll be tough to say if whether or not if somebody wins SAG, if that's enough, or if there is another external factor involved.
It typically is not enough. And again, with the rolling TV year, we won't have many indicators. But for some people this year who will be competing in the limited series categories, like, for example, we'll get to that, but they won't have a chance at the Golden Globes to, you know, maybe have a comeback moment, or, you know, somebody, just look at, for example, Stellan Skarsgård, who's had a career that includes over 100 movies and was never awarded or even nominated anywhere except in Sweden. For him to finally get that award, it is a big deal. I think what they really need to do, as far as if I can add my sense of what they need to do, is I think if they took their membership from 80 to 100 and maybe made it like 100 to 125 people, and make sure that it was more diverse, that would solve a little bit of their problem.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I think diversity is what drove this conversation, but I think the issues are much more deep-rooted than just that, and it's going to either involve an entire makeover to the point that the Globes just simply won't be the Globes anymore as we know them, or their complete eradication. And it's a little tough to say right now just exactly where that is going. Michael, what do you think of the whole situation?
I don't really want to speak to the state of the Globes, because that's been scrutinized enough lately and they need to work that out on their own. So just looking at the landscape now that they're out of the equation for this next year, actually, I don't want to even say out of the equation, because they're just not on NBC. We don't know if there's going to be a show or not. That's still to be determined. But given what we're going to be paying attention to of the televised precursors ahead of the Emmys, I would say all eyes on SAG. And it was already starting to look that way, where a lot of the buzz was falling into the Screen Actors Guild. But we're really going to have to rely on them more than we ever have, because they will really, I don't want to say make or break, but begin to build up these contenders in a way that they hadn't always before. So it's going to be more scrutinized at the SAG Awards. And then we're also going to see maybe more of a focus on Critics' Choice, depending on how they present that ceremony going forward. I think we might see a world where that moves to network rather than basic cable. So however the networks and the organizations begin to present their awards over the next year, that'll really give us a lay of the land as we begin to look to Emmys 2022.
You've watched them in unforgettable adventures, love affairs, and tragedies. Now it's time to hear their own remarkable stories. From the makers of Death of a Rockstar and Death of a Sports Star, this is Death of a Film Star. Starring Heath Ledger, Marilyn Monroe, Chadwick Boseman, Robin Williams, Carrie Fisher, and Bruce Lee. Search for Death of a Film Star in your podcast app. You've seen them tell stories. Now it's time to tell theirs.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.
One thing to keep in mind with the SAG Awards, as far as the television side is, with the exception of this year, or maybe like a show like Glee or Stranger Things, for example, typically first-year shows are not nominated there. So it is going to still be a little hard to gauge whether a show next year have any buzz going into it, going into the Emmys, because usually they wait. Usually you have to be on two seasons to get a SAG attention. Like, for example, Succession has never been nominated at the SAG Awards.
Yeah, but also, too, with the SAG membership consistently going up in numbers and most of those people not being actors, I feel that there is maybe going to start to become more of a populist mentality about them. And I feel like that's already started to actually happen versus more of this insular actors celebrating actors mentality, you know?
Sure.
I mean, we saw Bridgerton get nominated this year.
Well, that's definitely a pop culture show where that makes absolute sense.
Yeah. So it's tough to say if it's a trend yet.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. It'll be interesting. But, you know, no one's going to win the five. No one's going to have a chance at winning the five awards. And that's, you know, that's a very rarefied air to sweep the Golden Globes, Critics' Choice, TCA, Emmys, and SAG.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, too, to see if, like, you know, maybe there's a possibility that without the Golden Globes in play, you know, it's very possible that something could win those other awards and maybe still not go on to win the Emmy. And in the back of our minds, we'll always be wondering, could that have been the show or the performance or whatever to have won the Globe and nothing else? But because there was no Globes, we'll just never know. You know?
Yeah, Ewan McGregor is a good example of that for Fargo season 3. That's the only award he won that whole year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in looking at the landscape as it is right now, I do agree with you, Amanda, that I've always felt like the Globes were really good at putting a spotlight on a show that the Emmys traditionally didn't. They were always really good at recognizing new shows, in particular in their first seasons, even if it did produce sometimes like true WTF, what the heck is that show that just won moments for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
But despite any positives to come out of it at all, what's right is right.
Absolutely.
And right now, what's right is that they get their act together and they do some serious reform.
Yeah, they need to reform.
It'll be fun to play the game later this year over what we think might have been nominated at the Golden Globes. If there is no show, to Michael's point earlier, there still might be a press release announcement, or maybe it does. There is some sort of a show on. I don't think it's going to be another network, to be honest with you. They might just do something maybe on their YouTube channel or something like that, for all we know.
Well, they could do another press conference like they did during the writer's strike, where they just said, here's the time we're going to announce our winners.
Mm-hmm. Although, in my own personal opinion, I don't think they should do anything. I think that if they do anything at all, even a bare minimum, my gut feeling tells me it'll be bad PR. But if the message, and they would have to like come out and say this, if they say, hey, we're putting out a press release this year of our nominees and our winners because we want to prove to people that we aren't just about the parties, the favors, and the expensive fancy boat trips to concerts and share, and I don't even know what else.
Yeah.
Basically, we're about celebrating what is the best of the year. If they are going to stick true to that and that's going to be their new motto moving forward, then you know what? I'd say let them have it. But if they just put out a press release as almost like a defiant F you, we're still going to do something, like, that's going to send the wrong message to people, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree.
All right. So let's talk about all those shows that won't be nominated for Golden Globes this year. I want to break this down into a couple of different shows here. And then once I'm done breaking those down, we can then go individually based on what you have been watching and if I didn't mention something. So why don't we first start off with HBO's Mayor of Easttown, starring Kate Winslet, Evan Peters. This show is right now at a point where we only have two episodes left. I feel like it's really started to peak at this point in terms of interest. The ratings are continuing to go up week by week. Everyone seems to really be loving it. Michael, you're from the Philly area. Tell us what you think.
So just to clarify, I'm not just from the Philly area. I am from the suburbs where this show takes place. This is my show. These are my people. This is like filmed in my backyard. And there's a very specific dialect in my suburbs that Kate Winslet had to learn, which I just find to be the funniest thing, that out of all the accents in the world, she's literally doing my neighborhood and doing a terrific job at it.
I mean, SNL thought it was hysterical, too.
Yeah. We should just say before we go any further, if you haven't watched the last episode, please stop now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Skip forward like 10 minutes.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt, but this is a preview of episode 19 of the Next Best Series podcast, part of the Next Best Picture podcast. If you would like to get the rest of this podcast, you will have to head on over to our Patreon for Next Best Picture, where for $1 minimum a month, you will get the rest of this episode, along with other exclusive podcast content as well. You have been listening to the Next Best Series podcast, part of the Next Best Picture podcast umbrella, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and if you want to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, feel free to do so. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
Hello, this is Gary Chachot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.